It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast for and by Rockies fans, on Rocky Mountain Rooftop. Thank you for joining us as we discuss all things baseball and Colorado Rockies.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Affected by Altitude, a special supplemental episode that we're recording here on Sunday, March 24th, kind of as an extra episode to the one you heard yesterday from Affected by Altitude, a Colorado Rockies podcast by the Rocky Mountain Rooftop Network under the Fans First Sports Network. I'm your host, Skylar Timmons, joined here with Evan Lang, and we have the running joke, Evan, that Rockies will do stuff after we record. And boy, howdy, did they live up to that here on this Sunday that we're recording in the afternoon, because the Rockies got busy on Sunday, the day after we recorded on March 23rd. So we had to figured we might as well not wait the whole week and get right into it with some news.
Because God forbid we get to just chill on a Sunday without the Rockies dropping tons of news on us.
Yes, it's very annoying, but end of spring training, rosters are coming into shape, teams are doing things, they're releasing guys, they're making little trades, acquiring, shuffling around the rosters. It's a weird time of the season, in the off season really, before the regular season starts. I'm saying season too much, but Rockies already made one weird move this past week, trading for Greg Jones that we talked about, but then we all wake up here on this on Sunday morning learning that the Rockies have traded Cash over to the Philadelphia Phillies for outfielder / first baseman Jake Cave, adding him to the 40-man roster, taking the spot of Herman Marquez, who's now on the 60-day IL, and subsequently they have released Bradley Zimmer, who was in camp, fighting for a spot. So Jake Cave coming over likely now takes that spot of left-handed hitting outfielder. This is a head-scratcher, Evan. Even more so than the Greg Jones ones, this one makes no sense.
I feel like there was a lot more upside for the Greg Jones trade because at least it's a prospect for a prospect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Greg Jones can also play shortstop, and he's got that elite speed to him. For me, the trading for Jake Cave makes no sense. So we talked about on our episode yesterday about how the Rockies were talking about how they wanted to keep getting better. And we were wondering, like, all right, well, how do you do that? And this is a move that doesn't really make them better.
This isn't it, fam.
Yeah, so Jake Cave is a 31-year-old outfielder and first baseman. He does have plenty of experience in center field. It's where he's gotten the most reps throughout his career, a little over 1,000 innings in center field. But he's not that good a center fielder. I believe he's got -7 career DRS in center field. And that's really not going to play in the very difficult to play Coors Field outfield. He's also played a lot of left field and he plays first base. The last thing we need is another corner outfielder and another first baseman. And he's a guy who, you know, in 6 seasons in his career, he's just put up 2 wins above replacement. He's got an on-base percentage below .300. He's just not a huge improvement. And we were talking about this when we were chatting with our buddy Paul Holden over at Locked On Rockies earlier today, that his last 3 seasons, when he's been above the Mendoza line, it's just barely. He's well under .300 for on-base percentage. His slugging percentage isn't that good. He just, this is not a big improvement. And I would much rather have, say, kept Bradley Zimmer, who, yeah, his bat's not that good, but he's having a fantastic spring. He's a solid defender, and he's got that good speed component. Or even Sam Hilliard, who had been putting together a fairly decent spring training just for the familiarity and his ability to play all 3 outfield positions, you know, relatively well. This doesn't do it for me. I find it a very frustrating and strange move. And then you add on to the fact that the Rockies had to make a move to clear a spot on the 40-man roster for him, which gets rid of some of the flexibility that we have with that 40-man roster.
Yeah. And this article from Thomas Harding, just the general things, and manager Bud Black said the Rockies like Cave's versatility and speed. Assistant coach PJ Pilateri worked with Cave in the Yankees organization. And this is either Black or Pilateri saying this. Jake comes with a tool set that profiles for us as role player, ability to play all three positions in the outfield, and ability to play first base as well, Black said. He has some power, can really hit a fastball, all fastballs. He's a hard-nosed, gritty player. There's that key word we hear from the Rockies a lot, gritty, grinder. 55 runner and a good solid defender. What scouting report is Bud Black getting? Like, I understand, it's just confusing for me where this is not the upgrade, like we said. This is more of a lateral move. You're just getting more of the same.
I would actually call this a downgrade.
Yeah. It's like him, like, why not just stick with Bradley Zimmer? Or I can understand not sticking with Hilliard. His batting average, like, he had a lot of walks, which is good, but he just still isn't an impact bat off the bench right now. But Bradley Zimmer, who was having a good spring, yeah, he doesn't have the history of his bat, but showed up well, has been with you, signed with you. You're not having to pay for a guy to come over, kidnap him from an organization, the way people often frame coming to the Rockies. Zimmer joined the team. It seemed like, I don't know if he was getting along, if he was meshing well with the club or whatnot, but was having a good spring, playing good defense, was getting on base, was having a resurgence at the plate. And then we just kick him to the curb last minute, like, never mind, we're going to get this guy instead. Like, this move doesn't make sense in that aspect either.
Yeah.
It's a slap in the face to what you've had in camp. And then as soon as a guy who's basically the equivalent, like, never mind, we want him.
I like what you said about, you know, what scouting report are you reading when you're looking at Jake Cave? Hasn't had a weighted runs created plus of over league average since 2019, since 2020, 85, 50, 81, 66. He doesn't steal bases, so his speed's not that good.
8 stolen bases in 6 years.
In his entire career. And as a fielder, I'm sorry, he's not that good. Mm-hmm. He's done his best work in left field, where he's got a career total of 5 defensive runs saved and an ultimate zone rating of 6.2. But even then, he's still got -2 outs above average. in center field, he's got two outs above average, but is got a negative 2.2 ultimate zone rating and negative 7 career DRS. And then in right field, negative 1 DRS, negative 0.7 UZR, and 4 outs above average. And yeah, he can play first base. He only started doing that last year, though, because he's not a very good outfielder. And he was kind of working with Bryce Harper and the Phillies as that first base spot. But he's not... he's none of the things that they're saying that they are, that he is.
Yeah. And it's,
just, go it's ahead. So weird. It's so weird that they're, you know, Bud Black and PJ Pillitteri. I get that PJ likes his boy because they were in the Yankees system together. You know, Jake Cave was originally drafted by the Yankees, I think, in like 2011. But he's not a great role player. He's not a great fielder. He's not a great hitter. He's not particularly fast. He's 31 years old. Why did we do this?
And we could just copy and paste that clip and put it on over everything that we talk about with the Rockies. Oh, please, why this? But I mean,
there are so many other options that you could have done. You could have kept Zimmer. You could have kept Hilliard. You could have said, all right, Jordan Beck, come on up. You've had a fabulous spring. You just got the Abby Greer Award for spring training MVP for the Rockies. And they do this instead.
Yeah. And I'm just looking. Okay, this is how well he hits fastballs, Evan. In the Baseball Savant pitch tracking era, so dating back to 2018, I'll go with expected batting average. Or should I go regular batting average or expected? We'll just go regular. Yeah, we'll just go regular. Okay, 2023 on fastball, 227 batting average. 2022, a 214 batting average. 2021, 215 batting average. 2020, 328. So I guess their records are from 2020. 2019, a 237 batting average. 2018, 272 batting average. Has never hit breaking balls that well. Off speed, he's a little better, but still just across the board, not good. Even your expected batting averages are pretty low across the board against fastballs, breaking pitches, and off speed. So I honestly, who's providing the data of Jake Cave is what we need for this club?
Well, we know Brittany Havey from Analytics quit this offseason, so who is writing this information? Because you also look at his walks and strikeouts. He doesn't take that many walks, and he strikes out at a pretty decent clip, where he's got a strikeout rate of over 25% every single season. And in his first four seasons in the league, it was above 30 every single season. So it got a little bit better over the last 2 years, but still 27% the last 2 years he's striking out. This is not an improvement. And I'm not trying to denigrate Jake Cave as like a person. I'm sure he's delightful. This does not make the team better. This does not help the team with a rebuild. This move has no positive aspects to it. It makes zero sense to me.
And I think that's, do you think the injury or foul ball off of Nolan Jones's knee, this is that reaction to that, maybe kind of an overreaction to that. And they're just felt like, oh man, we need to bring in another outfielder. Who has somebody available that we can get?
If they couldn't have waited a day for all the testing to be done on Nolan Jones, then that's a whole other issue. Because, you know, we had, before the game was even over yesterday when Nolan fouled that ball off his knee, we had that the x-rays were negative currently and they were calling it a knee contusion.
Yeah.
And then this morning, we've got Nolan Jones saying that, you know, it's not broken. He's going to rest it, and he should be ready to go for opening day. So if they went that big a knee-jerk reaction to bring in this guy because of the Nolan Jones injury, then that makes it even worse, honestly.
Yeah, and there's – I don't have the up-to-date list, but I'm sure there is a lot of other free agents available. You know, what's Raimel Tapia doing? Because I feel like that's basically what you're getting. There's kind of these guys that fit that mold. This ain't it. And it's just a weird move, an unnecessary move, I think, is the main thing. Maybe some other year, some other time, different circumstances, we kind of look at, yeah, whatever. But this close to opening day, after what they've been going through this spring, trying to figure out what they still have to figure out on the 40-man roster that we touched on before in our other episode, this is an unnecessary move that just doesn't make sense. Of why? Is it because you want another veteran that's was on a big league roster last season? Or just why? Yeah. What are we doing here?
I hate that they use the word grit, because that's what we always make fun of with this team, is prioritizing grit and veteranosity over talent or potential.
Mm-hmm.
And they do it time and time again, and it's made things even more confusing, because, you know, we were talking about yesterday that with some of the 40-man flexibility that you've got, you had a little wiggle room where it could make sense to keep Sean Bouchard, Michael Tolia, and Alaris Montero on the opening day 26-man roster. Just roll into opening day with all three of them. Now it doesn't make any sense, because you've got three different guys that play first base and outfield, four different guys that play first base.
Mm-hmm.
They're all in the 40.
Yeah. The Padres have filled their roster with nothing but shortstops. We're going for the less versatile corner outfield first baseman. Throw that roster together, line up one day.
And that's not even counting Chris Bryant, who is corner outfield and first base.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half this team is corner outfielders and first basemen. Nolan Jones, technically corner outfield and corner infield.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Blackmon, corner outfield.
Montero, corner infield.
What is with this team in corner outfielders and corner infielders?
I don't know. They live on 20th and Blake, so that must be a corner somewhere.
I'm just...
the roster construction... All through spring training, we're like, okay, we can see how this is going to work out. Bradley Zimmer, yeah, it's not our first choice, but we can understand if they do add him or Sam Hilliard. But now, it's Rando coming out with a metal chair, bashing somebody over the head. You're like, what the heck? Where'd he come from?
This is my first real, what are we doing moment of the spring. Because even with Greg Jones, I didn't like it. I found the move baffling, but there's at least a semblance of understanding of what the point is with that kind of move. You know, maybe they don't love the stuff that Joe Rock has. Greg Jones has still some potential, has that positional versatility to love, and they love his elite speed. Cool. Okay. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it.
Mm-hmm.
This makes no sense.
Yeah. And I'll still hope he does good. Whatever, he'll be on the Rockies. I'll root for him. Maybe not as much as I'll be rooting for some other guys. But just a baffling move, and we'll see how it plays out, I guess. And everything as they hedge their bets and still plenty of roster stuff to figure out. We'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk on other news coming from Rockies in spring training.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back here to Affected by Altitude. Extra episode here. 105.5, maybe 106. We haven't figured it out yet. But
105B.
Yeah.
This is the B side.
The B side. There you go. But other news coming out of spring training, Evan, shuffling around. We'll touch on here really quickly. Starting rotation has been established. It'll be Kyle Freeland, Cal Quantrill, Austin Gomber, Ryan Feltner, and Dakota Hudson rounding things out. Peter Lambert will be the long man in the bullpen. Not many surprises there. We figured this was going to be the rotation.
Yeah, no surprises here. We've basically figured from the get-go that when they acquired Cal Quantrill, he'd be in the lineup. We knew Kyle Freeland was going to be the number one in the rotation. We knew Austin Gomber was going to be in the rotation somewhere. We knew Ryan Feltner was probably going to be in the rotation somewhere. And it really just came down to that number five spot of Dakota Hudson or Peter Lambert. And for now, it's Dakota Hudson, and they can always switch that out later in the season. All six of these guys are going to be on the 26 man going into the season. Really not a surprise here.
Six-man rotation, maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
Because Anthony Molina, they think they'll give him some spot starts, and he has made the team, our Rule 5 pick. We figured he would, but he just backed that up with a very solid spring. So congratulations to Anthony Molina, who will be making his major league debut with the Rockies. Pretty exciting. He's an exciting arm. The more we've seen him this spring, I'm bought in more on him.
Me too. There's definitely potential there. Where when we first picked him up, I really wasn't sold for him as our Rule 5 pick. But having watched him this spring, I could definitely see why the organization is high on him. And I'm really curious to see how he does. It's going to be tough because this will be his big league debut season, and he's basically has to stay on the roster. Otherwise, we have to give him back to Tampa. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I think overall, this is a pretty solid set. Really surprising, though, is that Ty Block did not make the opening day roster. We actually were, I think we talked about it yesterday. We both figured that he would make it for the third straight year, and he did not.
Yeah, and I guess it might be the Rockies want him as a depth starter down in AAA. And so hopefully he accepts that assignment, goes down there, because I think that's what they want instead of just sticking him in the bullpen where he'll work one or two innings. But instead we might be down to one left-hander in the bullpen, which is not ideal, but I guess we'll just wait until Gilbreth is ready to go in like May maybe. So surprising, the little cat broke the streak, third year in a row, not to be. But hey, at least John Curtis is making it, who had a rough spring, especially from some outings, but that leaves one bullpen spot pretty much open, and a non-roster guy, like we talked about, lack of flexibility. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be Cook, Caricedi, somebody else out of left field? Who knows? Another corner outfielder? Are they going to take over in the bullpen? Who knows? We'll see, Evan.
Yeah. Charlie Culberson.
Yeah, there you go.
Just got released by the Braves.
CJ Cron just got released. Can he pitch?
Former Rockies Mike Moustakas and Kevin Pillar both released.
Kevin Pillar re-signed with the White Sox on a major league deal.
Minor league deal.
No, I saw the M and my brain filled in the rest of it. He re-signed with them.
Yeah, but it does say a lot about the recent years of the Rockies for how many players that were starters with the Rockies are either being cut after camp or just being on minor league deals.
Or not even in the league in any capacity and are playing internationally.
Shout out to Chase Anderson, though. Chase Anderson, who really helped out with some pretty solid starts last year with the Rockies, ended up signing a big league deal with the Boston Red Sox. So another destination for the solid journeyman starter.
Yeah, good for him. Like, I would have been okay if we had brought him back, but
me too.
I'm glad he found a space where the Red Sox didn't work out with the Pirates, but then caught on somewhere else. So good for him. But anyways, that's where the state of the roster will. By the time you hear this, it'll probably have been even more. And so then everything we're saying is redundant once again.
Disc hey, 2 coming soon.
Yeah, the volume 2. But the big news here, Evan, that we're recording and talking about here that deserve, that was the whole point of this episode. Ezekiel Tovar, Rockies shortstop, has signed a 7-year extension with the Rockies, roughly about $64 million for 7 years with an option that's roughly worth maybe about $20 million to bump it up to $84 million total. So it could be an 8-year, $84 million year deal, extension, take him through his age 29 season where he could be a free agent in the prime of his career. Thoughts here on the extension of Ezekiel Tovar?
It's been the whiplash of the day because, you know, you wake up and we have the Jake Cave trade and you're like, what is going on? And then I've had the continued whiplash of my Colorado Buffaloes being knocked out of the tournament by Marquette in very painful fashion. And then we had the an absolute roller coaster of an Avs game. And then now we've got the news that the Rockies actually did something incredibly smart, which was lock down in for the long term a young talent on a team-friendly deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we've seen the Atlanta Braves do this. We've seen other teams do this. And we talked about it last year of that the Rockies needed to get on board. And now they've done it with Tovar. So 7 years, $63.5 million with a club option for an 8th year. They'll round it out to $84 million. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
Especially if he can deliver on the promise that we've seen that is so tantalizing.
Mm-hmm. And originally reporting this, we'll give him the shout out, Daniel Alvarez Montes from elextrabase.com. He's a Venezuelan. And so he's got that in, getting this news of the young Venezuelan player. He is an official BBWA writer, covers baseball in Miami, and he's also a Baseball Reference brand ambassador. So Daniel Alvarez Montes, well done on this report. Make sure we give him the credit and the shout out for that, and appreciate him getting this news out. Yep. And the club hasn't technically officially confirmed it, but Thomas Harding did confirm it with the Rockies. Yep. They have some weird policy. They won't discuss the terms or won't release the terms. Maybe once the deal's official, they will.
Yeah. And we know that, you know, Daniel Alvarez, a great source, especially for Venezuelan players. And then, you know, it's legit once Thomas Harding confirms it, because it's Thomas Harding. So this is, you know, pretty much set in stone. We don't know the terms officially yet until the Rockies come out and say, hey, we're making it official that we signed Ezekiel Tovar to an extension. I'm expecting that maybe either tonight or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But it's a good deal. And this is a smart move that the Rockies have made. One of the first they've done in a while. So,
yeah, you know,
credit where credit's due to the Rockies organization. I also, you know, I've been talking about, this is probably the most direction they've given us into the future of the organization in quite some time, where, you know, they're putting in they're cashing their chips in on this young shortstop with great potential, who we already know his glove is fantastic. And if he can keep working on his bat, he's going to be a superstar.
Yeah. And a nice team friendly deal, and averages about $9.1 million a year, a little over $9 million a year, depending on how that gets stretched out. And maybe it'll escalate as he gets later in his career. But yeah, what a nice team friendly deal, makes sense. And good for Tovar. Young guy, he's 22 right now. And so sets him up, buys out maybe a couple of years of free agency, all of his arbitration years, 1 or 2 years of free agency. It works for him because then he can reach free agency at 29. Hopefully he's progressed where he sets himself up and, you know, he could go and get another good contract for himself, whether it's with the Rockies or not. Maybe we've drafted somebody else that can replace him. But no, in total, we'll get roughly about 9 years, maybe, of Ezekiel Tovar in a Rockies uniform. Not too shabby.
No. Yeah, I definitely hope that his free agency move will be to stay with the Rockies. I hope the Rockies in that amount of time are in a much better spot and can have him be, you know, the continued franchise shortstop. But it does work out really well. It works out for the Rockies short term because it's nice and team friendly, and it works out for Tovar where he'll still be under 30, potentially in his prime, mm-hmm, to come in and get another big contract. if he plays up to his potential. And we've seen that potential. You know, he didn't have an incredible rookie season with the Rockies last year. You know, that batting average kind of low, you know, the high strikeout total, the lower on base percentage. But we saw him hit some home runs and steal some bases and play just incredible defense at shortstop. Okay. I love this deal. This is great, great news.
Yeah, and it's good to see a reasonable amount of money handed to a young player who's going to be a core piece of the franchise. Now, it's not the same as like when we're paying for that potential. We've talked about this. We're paying for that potential, whereas like a guy with like Ryan McMahon, we already kind of knew what Ryan McMahon was, and I still have never really understood why we gave him that extension, but it's not that same thing where Tovar can continue to grow and mature and develop at the big league level. He's not finished yet. No, he's only 22. He's not fully refined because he blazed through the minor leagues four seasons roughly and zoomed up to the big league level in 2022. So this is a chance for him to worry about just focusing on being a player and improving, which is really nice. And we don't have to worry about shortstop. And he's already shown he can be an Iron Man. 153 games last year. I could expect him to get 162 this year. So this isn't going to be like a Trevor Story or, you know, Tulowitzki situation where this guy's making a ton of money, but it's injuries and there's these big problems. He can be the best kind of all around. We don't need him to be the elite offensive guy, but he can be a really good all around quality player that can, you know, have a good average, hit for some power, steal some bases, and then play extraordinary defense. Should be fun.
Yeah, it should be.
Good stuff.
The there is one more little bit of news that I think we can talk about, Skyler. Charlie Blackmon says he has no plans to retire.
Well, yeah, he's got a whole season to play.
He said in an interview with Troy Rank of the Denver Post, plan A was always to stay here. I certainly give the Rockies credit for having interest to do something during the season. It was a one-year thing, but you never know what's going to happen when you're coming back from injury. I was lucky to get back on the field, play well, and that gave me confidence that I can do it again this year. I think I was productive and I feel good this year, so I am not ready to say, but I don't see why I couldn't keep going beyond this year.
And we're going to have another Joey Votto situation. Like, we don't want him to play in another uniform, but I'll understand if he does.
Honestly, though, the title reads a little differently than it sounds like what Chuck is actually saying. So he hasn't officially declared that he's going to retire yet, but he basically doesn't have any plans one way or the other. Mm-hmm. Where if he's going to keep playing or not, it's basically we're going to see how this season goes. But on the bright side, this article confirms that he's committed to the look. The beard and the mullet aren't going anywhere.
He's going to pull a Todd Helton. It's going to be a random Sunday afternoon. The Broncos are going to be playing. So Colorado's going to be focused on that. And then he'll quietly say it in the dugout or in the clubhouse on a road game. Yeah, I'm going to retire after this season. This is my last one. Like, that's what Chuck's going to do, I think. That would be the play for Chuck.
I feel like you're right. It's not that, you know, I wouldn't want him to stick around, but, you know, he's going to be 39, 40 years old, and my heart would break to see Chuck play with any other team, but I can't say that it would make sense for the Rockies to have Chuck on the opening day roster in 2025.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like just the sheer roster flexibility. Yeah, they'd have to move on.
Yeah.
Now, in that sense, they'll bring him back and teach him how to play first base and
first base, corner outfield, and DH.
Yeah. Make sure we get all our bases covered.
The Rockies combo.
We're gonna have an 8-man platoon in right field and first base and DH.
I'm good. I'm good. No more.
Rockies re-signed Mike Moustakas and CJ Krohn.
Now, if those were on like minor league deals, I wouldn't hate it, just because I always say there's no such thing as a bad minor league deal. And that way, if we really have some terrible injury luck, yeah, we've got guys that could come in and do something. But no.
But anyway, if you're a prospective player out there wanting to get drafted specifically by the Rockies, learn to play all three outfield positions and first base, and there'll be a spot for you.
Get ready to speak corner outfield and first base, buddy.
Yeah. That works perfectly. But yeah, that's kind of catching up on all the news that we missed in our last episode and recorded on Sunday. And we'll probably have more of these throughout the season. But hey, opening day, just a couple days away for the 2024 season, and the misery begins. Or the joy. We'll see.
I swear to God, if there's any big news tonight after we record, or like Monday morning or something. So basically our current plan is our episode we recorded yesterday goes up on Monday. This supplement goes up on Tuesday. Swear to God, if there's any other really big moves, and we're going to have to do Affected by Altitude episode 105 A-side disc 2.
Hey, we just might have to move to doing daily podcast episodes. Even if it's just one of us. Who knows? Maybe we could. Ooh, probably not. But anyway, thanks for sticking with us and tuning in here for this quick little supplemental episode of Affected by Altitude. You can follow us here on your favorite podcasting platform and YouTube. Subscribe. Leave us a review. It helps out. Hopefully a good review, too. We're fragile. Don't hurt us. Be gentle.
Please be nice to me.
Be nice to me. And you follow us on all of our social media, Rocky MTN Rooftop, R-O-C-K-Y MTN Rooftop on Twitter and Instagram. And here on YouTube, find us on purplerow.com. Anything else we need to know, Evan? Where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Evan_Lang27. Also find me there on Instagram and Monday Rock Piles on purplerow.com.
And find me at Sideline_Crowd on Twitter. Also purplerow.com, writing Wednesday Rock Piles and some other news articles, and writing for fansfirstsports.com. Until next time, this has been Affected by Altitude. I'm Skyler. That is Evan. Hit him with it.
Farewell.
Paul is dead.
What? We just recorded with Paul. He's fine.
Oh, no.